Excuse me, 1 minute. Got to wet the whistle. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3. If y'all wondering why I talked about Peter the past couple of weeks, back at the church in Florida that I go to, I am the on-call Sunday school teacher. In other words, I might not get the call till Sunday morning. Can you teach Sunday school for the adult class? The normal teacher has had some family issues going on for about the last 4 months, and so I've always been on call. And knowing what they were going to talk about, I would just start studying ahead just in case, so I don't look completely like I don't know what I'm talking about. But I've been doing that. I've been studying, so I've been going through studying Peter, and I said, well, this would be a good thing to share with our church here. And I do want to thank the session again for asking me to come and fill the pulpit. It's such a blessing for me to be home. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, and he's writing to the people of disbursement. They're in what is now Asia Minor. It's probably written during the time that Nero was Roman emperor. And Nero had this wonderful gift of whatever went wrong in his empire, it's the Christians' fault. We were his scapegoat. When he chose, because he lost his mind, chose to burn down Rome, the Christians led him to do it. So this is the kind of world that these people are living in, and because they are Christians and they're proud to be Christians and they want to honor God above all else, they are being ridiculed, persecuted, and dismissed in the communities that they live. So as Peter is writing to them, he's reminding them, Jesus did this for you. He gave his life that you are now reconciled back to God. And no matter what happens on this earth, God will always be with you. That you are no longer of this kingdom. You are of the kingdom of God. And you are a sojourner, a temporary residence here on earth. So 1 Peter 3, starting at verse 8, he says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. No fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but be made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone to heaven and is in the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of God. As Peter is writing this letter, he's trying to appeal to people who are being punished for loving the Lord. And he's saying, as a Christian, live as a Christian. Don't live as the world tells you to live. You have a unity of mind. What brought us all together as Christians is the life, the death, the resurrection, the full sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we all share that, and that should be our unity, that we live now for Christ, not for ourselves. So we should have that unity of mind, but with that unity of mind, we should have sympathy for one another, believers and non-believers. Because as you mature in your faith, that you might confront other people who are Christians but have not quite matured to where you're at. And you want to guide them along. So you use sympathy, compassion. With brotherly love, share what you know. A tender heart. Never saying they don't deserve to know Christ. Those hard-headed people, why would I waste my time? But we were all there at one time in complete rebellion against God. Living a life of worldliness and enjoying that life that would bring us death. But yet something happened. Jesus Christ came into your life. The Holy Spirit moved into your heart. And something happened. You are no longer living the life that you once to live. As you're growing in Christ, you're dying to the worldliness of your heart. You are being metamorphosed, changed in a way that God is blessing you. So as we go through struggles in our life, we have to remember, we're not in it alone. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We're with fellow believers. One of the most blessed things of coming to church and worshiping God is we're worshiping God in fellowship with like-minded people, all to honor and glorify him. Peter says, do not do what the world does. Well, you did me bad, I'm going to do you worse. There's no one-upsmanship when you have the heart of Christ. Don't repay evil for evil. Hate for hate. But on the contrary, bless. Bless them. Pray for them. Because you know the better way. That's what you are called to do. You want a blessing? You bless other people. For we have already been blessed with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, what do you want out of your life? Do you desire to be in the world? Or do you desire to be of the world? Who owns you? Does the world own you? Or does Christ own you? And if Christ owns you, he quotes from Psalms, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil. There's a correlation. You want good, you do good. Not necessarily in that correlation that you're earning goodness, but you're preventing evil from coming from your body. Keep his tongue from evil, keep his lips from speaking deceit, let him turn away from evil and do good. That conflict that every Christian has. I want to live for Christ, but in order to do that, I must die to self. The world fills us with lies. Who dies with the most toys wins. You are not successful unless you make millions of dollars and you step on everybody to get there. The world is a liar. And again, continue back in Psalms. Let him turn away from the evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. We are to imitate Christ. Did Christ seek peace? Did Christ pursue peace? Yes, even when he was upset, turning the tables over in the temple, his purpose was to show peace that you only know by loving and living as God wants you to do. So you seek peace and you pursue it. You do good. You turn from evil. The things that are contrary to a non-Christian, because they're in disobedience to God. Again, quoting from Psalms, he writes again, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, I'm at the church down in Florida. I'm leading a men's Bible study, and we're going through Romans. Romans is a really good book. Not that none of the others aren't. That's not what I'm saying. But Romans, as Paul's writing the letter to a church he's never attended, but he's trying to encourage them, and he's writing that letter. He starts out by talking about the fall of man and the love of God through Jesus Christ. And he writes to him, he says, you can't do it by yourself, and you don't have to, because Christ died for you and he died for me, all you who believe. And you should live a life honoring Christ. The response of many of the people in Rome, as much as the response of many people here today in this world, well, I would have done good, except he did this, or she said that, or my coffee pot didn't work this morning, and without my coffee, I don't even know who I am. I think I've got a fellow brother out in the congregation knows that feeling. But yeah, I got to have my coffee. But we always find an excuse for our bad behavior. And it's always someone else's fault. Much like Nero did with the Christians. It's always somebody else's fault. And I will tell you today, and as which was Peter is telling them at this time, because it's true and it works, you cannot be responsible for how people treat you. You can't. You can only be responsible to how you respond. And it takes a greater person to respond evil with goodness. It takes a greater person to respond to evil with blessing. Notice he doesn't say it's going to be easy. But you're not alone in doing it. Christ is there beside you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And God's Word is present for you to embrace, to grow, to learn how much God loves you. As Peter writes, says, now there is no harm for you if you are zealous for what is doing good. What can hurt you for doing good? If you've turned, if the world has turned against you and you're being punished and you're doing right in the eyes of God, what can harm you? Our life on this earth is temporary. Some of us have a longer life than others, but even that, this earth is temporary. But eternity is forever. And the life you live on this earth is supposed to demonstrate to everybody else what Christ has done for you. And he writes, even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them or have no trouble. Have no fear of the people who are trying to cause you harm. It's temporary. How then should you respond? Paul writes in Romans 12, he said, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Oh, it's so hard. It is. And we all have our ideas about why things aren't going right. And we all have ways. But we are called to a higher power in Christ Jesus. Your hearts honor Christ. And in that honor, you must be prepared to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know some of you say, well, Tim, that's not me. God gives everybody different gifts, and I couldn't dare get in front of a bunch of people and start talking about Jesus Christ. God knows me, and that's not, no, I can't do it. But here's one thing you are an expert on. Now, just because you're an expert doesn't mean you just stop learning. But here's one thing you are an expert on. Your relationship with Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. That's what you need to share. You need to be prepared to share it because as a Christian, you're supposed to be demonstrating to the world there's something special in you. There's something special in your behavior. There's something special in what you say and what you do. So very important as Christians, our mouth and our actions must be the same. What we say and what we do should look alike. Otherwise, we're hypocrites. But he says, you know your relationship with Christ. And you should always be prepared as a defense. Now, not as a defense to compete against God, but to say, this is why I believe this, and this is what has happened to me in my life. They look at you and say, there's something in you. That reason for hope. What hope do we have? The gift of grace God gave us through his son, Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to look like the rest of the world. We're supposed to look like Christ and his children, representing the one who preserved us. But we must do it with gentleness and respect. Have you ever gotten to a debate with anybody? And you don't have to raise your hand. I can speak for myself on this. Having a debate with someone, and the minute this comes out, You're wrong. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't have to talk to you. I'm shut down. I'm done. There's no longer debate. There is no conversation because this is not respectful. This is not gentle. And I'm sorry. You have something in you that's greater than you, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was gentle. Jesus Christ was patient. He was respectful. Just remember, one of the last words he said as his own people who claimed to love him were saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Gentleness, peacefulness, respectfulness. And in your actions, you have a good conscience because you didn't do what was right for you. You did what was right for God, what God had instructed you to do, what the honor of God. And here's the reason for it. Your good conscience, you're standing in the community. Not just in the church, but in the community. You're standing in that community. If somebody says something bad about you, the other people in the community could say, "No, that's not the, insert your name here, I know." I know he's a Christian or I know she's a Christian, but what you're saying is not what they've done. And it puts those who confess bad things against you to shame. But even if it doesn't, as Peter writes, "For it is better to suffer for doing good. For that should be God's will than for doing evil." If you suffered for doing evil, guess what? You deserved it. You did what was wrong and you're being punished for it. But if you're suffering for doing what's right, you're glorifying God. We cannot let the world dictate our lives. We have been bought and paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Right before Peter has written this, he talks about submission to authority. We have no greater authority in our lives than the Lord our God and His Son Jesus Christ. That's the submission we should be doing. This is not just Peter's thoughts. Jesus, he's a good source. If you read in Luke 6, Jesus says, "To give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." The golden rule. Not the golden rule that the world lives by, who says whoever has the most gold rules. But what Jesus says, treat people as you wish to be treated. It's not hard, but yet it is. The words are simple, but the actions are hard. Jesus continues, he says, "If you love those who love you, what benefit is it that to you? Even sinners love those who love them." And if you do good to those who do good to you, and what benefit is that of you? For even sinners do the same. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind and ungrateful. He is kind and to the ungrateful and to the unevil, and to the evil. But be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. We say that imitation is the Just drew a blank. It was what? Yeah, greatest form of flattery. Thank you. Told you I'm not bright, but I'm cheerful. But the greatest form of flattery. And here's what they're saying is, no, you are not Christ. But yet Christ dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. And you are to be imitators of Christ, not imitators of the world. There's plenty of people who can do that. But they lack what you have, that relationship. That grace, that mercy that you didn't deserve. It was freely given to you. So now, as a child of God, represent your family well. Regardless of what somebody else said, what somebody else did or didn't do, or what you thought should happen but didn't. You represent your family well. The family that we have in Christ Jesus. Suffering is not a bad thing. Well, it kind of is, but it's not. If we're suffering for the right reasons. Paul in Romans 5, he writes about suffering because, again, he's writing to the church in Rome, and they're right in the heart of the Roman Empire where things aren't really going their way. But he writes, through him, Jesus Christ, we have obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In hope. The same hope that Peter talked about in his. Be prepared to talk about your hope. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. Your character, again, what Peter wrote about earlier, is that you are recognized, even in your community, of a good, godly man. And when there are charges drawn against you, even the world can say, that's not him, that's not her. I've seen with my eyes, I've felt with my heart the love that this person shows. It's simple. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I ask you this, sincerely and with all the love I can give, are you prepared to share Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life? Not what the world tells you to do, but what Christ tells you to do. And it's not just in words, it's in deeds. Are you prepared? If you are not prepared, get there. It's easy to do. Part of it you're doing now. You're in church with fellowship with other believers. You pray to the Lord to give him your guidance, to open your heart, to open your mind, to share what you know Christ has done for you. To pray and to read his word. It's all given to us so that we can grow closer to him and farther away from the past creature we were before Christ came into our lives. So bless those, all of those, regardless of how they treat you. Pray for them. Seek God's work on their heart as he is working on yours. Do not be ashamed of who you are as a child of God. Prepare yourself. Share that good news. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the love you've given us, for your grace, your patience, your mercy to us. Lord, give us the encouragement to stand firm in what we believe. and to share with the world the love you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we fight our personal demons, know that we are not alone. You are with us. Strengthen us, dear God, to live more and more like Jesus and less of the sinful person we were before he came into our lives. Lord, we thank you for this day we celebrate the Holy Spirit, that now we know the Holy Spirit dwells in us to comfort us, to guide us, and to strengthen us. The blessing we have as your children is knowing we are never alone and you will never forsake us. Lord, how we thank you for that. Be with us this day and each day forward, loving you and showing your love to others. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. At this time, I will ask you to open up your hymnals to hymn number 31, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Let us stand singing, please.